And we're back with the last half an hour of the Ryman Roundup show this week. And it's great to say and welcome back to Ryman Football. And he's on the phone line right now. And it's a big welcome back to Jody Brown. Hello, Jody. Oh, maybe he's not. He may have gone. So Jody looks like he may have slipped off the line. But yeah, so hopefully Jody will be back and he'll call back in a few secs. We'll speak to Jody then. But I mean, what do you expect Jody to... Oh, there we go. And hopefully it'll be Jody on the line. Hello, Jody.
Hi, sorry about that. That's I lost right, you for some reason.
No, that's all right, mate. No problems at all. I said one of the first questions for you, mate. Is it good to be back?
I'm obviously happy to be back in a job, and it's nice to be somewhere that I'm familiar with and somewhere that I had good time. So, yeah, I suppose in some ways it's good to be back. But obviously, you know, there's been aspects of the year that haven't been great. Mm.
I mean, I suppose one of the first things, I suppose, will be to try and stop the slump in the home form. Would be one of the first things?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you take over a team who's rock bottom of the league, you know, it's going to be an uphill struggle and it's going to be a real challenge. You know, we've gone in there not with a view of playing the type of football that I normally try and play, which has always been one which allows players to have possession, be comfortable with the ball. We're just trying to be hard to beat and just trying to sort of arrest the slide, put some points on the board, try and move away from the bottom three, and then think about the long term.
Just say not necessarily the easiest game to have on Saturday at home to Cray Wanderers.
No, I mean, we had a tough game last night. We played Bury last night, who were obviously unbeaten before last night, so we're over the moon with that result, to be honest. And the boys worked really hard to get that, but yeah, first home game back at the club will be against top of the league on Saturday, or second, are they? I'm not sure. And yeah, it will be a really tough game. They've got a strong side, a lot of players that have plied their trade higher up the pyramid, so yeah, it'll be a tough challenge.
And it's a tough start, though, isn't it? I mean, you've got Bury, then Cray, then Sudbury, then you've got sort of like a Tilbury away that you just never know what's going to turn up. Then that lovely trip to Wroxham on a Tuesday night. I mean, it's you know, the fixtures haven't been necessarily too kind to you, have they, to start off with?
No, but in some ways, it's, you know, you could treat it as a positive. We know there's a bit of rebuilding to be done. We've got to get to know the players, and there's not a lot of pressure on these first few games, because I don't think anyone expects a side who are at the bottom of the table 4 points to beat a team who's at the top with 25 points. But, you know, like I say, we go into it with nothing to lose. We go into it on the back of two consecutive victories. So we'll do our utmost to try and get something from the game.
Yeah, because I know we said on the show at the beginning of the season, we said, you know, like the league is probably one of the toughest leagues in non-league probably this year. And we were sort of mentioning names. And, you know, I think we were quite surprised in the studio here to, you know, that, you know, the way Haybridge have actually sort of started off this season.
Yeah, Cliff Ackerang sort of stabilised things last year, I thought. And I knew it was going to be a tough division looking from the outside. Obviously, I wasn't involved myself, but Hornchurch, Cray, Sudbury, Malden and Tiptree, Thamesmead, Haverley, Harlow, you know, there's a lot of good sides in there that all will have reason to believe they can go up, which always makes for a tough division. And I thought Haybridge, you know, would probably be a good finish to be around the top eight, would have been a good finish for them. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for Cliff this year, which did surprise me, to be honest. But yeah, it is a tough division, and it's even tougher when you start at the bottom of the table with 4 points after 10 games.
Hi, Jody, it's Keith. Jody, what made you go to Haybridge then? Obviously, you know, you was at Concord and obviously helping Flanners out there and the league above. And as you just said, Haybridge being where they were in the league, what made you sort of sit there and think, yep, that, you know, that's for me?
Well, I live locally to Haybridge, so that's quite a big factor. And really, it was, you know, my whole career, I've always progressed. I've always been stepping up the levels. I've always had a winning record. I've always done well. I got to Welling in the conference premier. Didn't go so well for me. And, you know, I felt as though lots of people sort of questioned my ability to manage and started saying, oh, he's a coach, he's not a manager. But I've managed 496 games, I think I worked it out the other day. So I don't think the eight games at Welling was fair to judge me. And I just looked at the Heybridge situation. You know, I've got a good relationship with people at Heybridge because of working there before. And I just thought, what better challenge than to try and prove people wrong and rebuild Heybridge's season. And that's why I took it on.
I mean, with that, I mean, do you see? I mean, you've got a few games there, sort of in hand. I mean, do you see that there's a chance of a push up there to, towards the sort of playoff zone?
I don't like, not just being cliched, I don't think I can talk about that at the moment. I've had one training session and two games with the players. Obviously, you know, I will make adjustments to the squad. I'm just pleased with the reaction they've given us so far. They've worked really, really hard. And I think the reason we've got the two wins up following on to their like six straight defeats, I think the reason we got it is just simply the effort the players have put in. I think we haven't been clever or anything. They've just put a huge amount of effort in and they've got the results. If we can continue to build on that and get away from that relegation zone, then we can start looking at other aims. But initially, we just want to get away from the relegation zone. And, you know, if we can win our... pick up some points in those games in hand, then we'll go a long way to doing that, but it's not going to be easy.
How many players are still at the club from when you was there before?
Just Danny Barber, the one who's just made his 500th appearance the other night. He's the only one. They've actually had 107 players since I left. And that maybe suggests there was a bit of instability, and that might be the root of the problem of, you know, why they've ended up where they've ended up. But yeah, I've only been gone for 60 games, I think, and they've had 107 players, so I'd like to stabilise that as soon as possible, to be honest.
I mean, Justin Gardner was on earlier on, and he said that, you know, he finds that he's got
a lot. I bet he was saying a lot, wasn't he?
he turned around and said that basically that he has a lot of players that that always want to come and play for him, and you know, come back to him, and he can find the players and stuff. He's at the same sort of situation. You're sort of looking at yourself where players that you've had playing for you, maybe if it was at Heybridge or whatever level you've got, that you can get to come back and sort of actually help out, help out with the cause.
Like when you've worked in football, everyone knows, don't they? Every manager has got players that not necessarily follow them, but you know, you're going to pick your phone up and give them a call when you go to a club. So yeah, hopefully there will be some players that I worked with before that will come in and want to be part of the project at Heybridge. But there's no guarantees, because I have to be honest, it's not the easiest product to sell, a team bottom of Ryman Division 1. It will take a bit of persuasion of players, but I don't want to not emphasise the fact that the current players maybe we're just underperforming previously, because the last two games we've been good value for our wins, and I think they've worked really hard and deserve the wins that they've got. So there's nothing to say that these boys can't get us out of it themselves.
So looking from the outside in, and now from the inside out, with the actual Ryman North and the Ryman Leagues itself. Yeah. I mean, we are in major discussions, you know, throughout the weeks, and we spoke about it again today, about the games that are sort of been coming fast and furious, and you might play, you know, say for instance, if it was Heybridge, you might have played Soham twice in the space of 2 weeks, and you've still got to play the likes of Thurrock and all these type of teams sort of not until sort of February. I mean, what's your feelings around the way the fixtures have been structured this year?
Yeah, obviously I am new to it. Literally, I've been in there two games. I've been back in the Ryman League, but I have noticed it straight away, because my coach went and watched Heybridge against Sudbury the game before we took over. And then obviously we've got Sudbury again next week, which is a bit strange. So I'm still friends with Mark Bentley and Glenn Little at Grays, and they've said the same thing. You know, they've played Canvey twice already. I think there's another club they've played twice already. It is a bit odd, really, but I mean, I don't really know why it's been done like that. And I'll be honest, I'm not overly concerned by it.
Okay.
No, I just obviously listening to what you were saying. Obviously, with the games, obviously with Sudbury and the relegation thing. What have Heybridge said to you? Have they gave you any targets of what they want, or have they just sort of said, just come in?
Yeah, I just want to stay in the league. Obviously, they've got a I don't know how much people know, I don't know how public it is, but they're very close to starting work on their new ground. And if anyone sees the plans, it is a really impressive facility. And they wouldn't want to be in the Essex Senior League. No disrespect to the Essex Senior League, but they wouldn't want to move into this excellent facility and not be in the Ryman League. So, yeah, the priority is to stay in the division. There's nothing further than that. But, you know, we're all competitive people. And like I say, the quicker we get out of the relegation zone, quicker we can assess it again and see what's achievable. But kind of giving everyone in the league a 9-game head start, so it's not going to be easy.
No. With yourself, Jody, what sort of, you know, I know I sort of see attraction with Haybridge, but obviously, did you just want to get back as a number one, obviously being over at Concord as number two, or was that something different that you didn't enjoy, or was it, you know, did you always want to be your own manager?
Well, I was a manager. I mean, I coached like in professional academies with youth players, but in non-league football, I was always a manager until I worked with Terry Spillane. And we had really, you know, great success and a great relationship. But it's quite, you know, I think that's quite rare to find that where someone who's been a manager can...
We just had George Ball. I don't know if you heard, we had George on before.
Yeah.
And we asked him the same sort of thing going over at Brentwood with Dean.
Yeah. I think it's like I say, you either strike it off or you don't. And that's not to say me and Adam didn't strike it off. We got on really well. But in terms of football, for me, it was, you know, probably the easiest way to put it is we got different ways of doing things. And it's probably best for everyone that I wasn't contradicting Adam and Adam wasn't contradicting me. We got, you know, different philosophies on training, on match preparation, on the tactical side of the game, how you want the game played. And there's no right or wrong in football. It's just... it reminded me that probably my place is to be a manager. And if that means starting again lower down and building something at Haybridge, then I was willing to do that.
And is that what you see that the obviously Haybridge as a club can do for you?
I don't intend on just winning 20 games like I did last time and taking the first opportunity to move higher. But I always had this like desire to get up the pyramid and be tested higher and prove myself. And so I've done it now. And I've seen that when you get up there, you know, it's not amazing. It's not that different. Yeah, bigger grounds, bigger crowds, slightly better players. But, you know, the differences aren't that massive. And I'm a lot more patient now. And I'd like, and as well, to be honest, having worked at Concord and seeing what Danny Cowley did at Concord.
Yeah.
With regards to building a legacy, really. And, you know, I don't think Danny will ever be forgotten for what he did at Concord, and I don't think it will ever be repeated, if I'm honest. But if I could go anywhere near doing that for Haybridge, that would be a great achievement and probably equal how I felt about climbing the pyramid and getting to coach at the highest level I could.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, that's why was the Haybridge thing and the attraction for you where you'd been there before. Obviously, you was at Welling for a short period. You wasn't exactly that long at Grays because you went to Welling. So, you know, and then Concord being the number two, it's obviously you want to be yourself. But is the Haybridge thing you could, with the new ground, was that sort of something that did attract you, saying that, you know, I do need to sort of settle down and stay somewhere and take them with me, really?
Yeah, I mean, without the new ground, you know, I don't think anyone at Haybridge would mind me saying this. It wouldn't be quite as an attractive proposition because I have been there before and, you know, I wasn't there a huge amount of time, but we got to the playoffs and, you know, had a successful time. But with the future plans, not just the ground, the youth set up and how they want to combine the two and develop as a overall club rather than sort of separate entities and the possibility of having a full-time academy there and all these type of things, I see that the football club could develop into certainly a Ryman Premier and maybe even a Conference South football club. And if they didn't have those sort of plans in place, then I don't think I'd be the only manager who wasn't attracted to it, the bottom of the Ryman one. So, of course, the ground and the other plans as well as the ground for the future development of the club did appeal to me.
I think their league position, I think, was a little bit false. What, you know, me and Dave always spoke at the beginning because, as you know more than anyone, even the ground they got now, it's always a decent playing surface. They've always had a decent fan base, really, if you compare to what Witham have and obviously Maldon that are quite close. And obviously you've been to Maldon. So it was always the sort of club that, you know, could push on. My only worry with them, and obviously you said about Cliff earlier, is that they seem to have a club that's always striven for success. You know, I think not that long ago they were in the Ryman Prem. I'm not talking decades ago.
No, 7 years, wasn't it? Ryan Statham and
that's right. Yeah, and it, for me as an outsider, and I might be completely wrong, it's always looked like a club that want to get back there quite quickly, and obviously would do anything to do that. You know, they've gone through quite a few managers in a short period of time. And obviously, with yourself coming back, was that the plan to sort of say, look, you've done well for us in the past, we want you here to take us back there again?
I think, in fairness, they have gone through managers, but I don't think they'd have ever got rid of Mark Hawkes, who moved on to Chelmsford, and I don't think they would have got rid of me. Obviously, eventually they do, but you know what I mean, not in the short term. Mm. So I think they've been unfortunate in that two managers who did relatively well there left, and maybe they just haven't found the answer up till now. But yeah, of course they want success. I think everyone within the club remembers those good times. You know, they were a force in the Ryman Premier when the Ryman Premier was the Conference South. So before the Conference South came about, and you know, I remember Haybridge finishing second in that league, so they missed out on going into the Conference National, and that was only 7 or 8 years ago. So yeah, I think they've got a mentality that they'd like to be higher, and like you say, they've got a great playing surface, and When you're doing well, you do get decent crowds down there, and they do give you good support. So, yeah, maybe it is somewhat of a sleeping giant, or they see themselves as sleeping giants. But I'm just glad to be back part of it, and glad to be managing. And I think with the long term plans, anything can be achieved, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the new ground itself, though, I mean, is that going to be the pitches and stuff? Oh, is that not got that far? Is it going to be grass? Is it going to be 3G or is that not being agreed?
It's going to be 3G.
Right.
It's going to be 3G. I think it's largely modelled on the Maidstone ground. But, you know, a real appealing aspect of it is it's got its own training facility there as well.
Is that going to be put just behind where your ground is now?
No, it's a little bit away from there, relatively local. Mm. It's just, you sort of have to go round the back of the current ground, but it's a bit of a trek because obviously you can't go as the crow flies. So it's not far from where the ground is now if you were just walking across fields, but in car it's probably about 5 minutes.
Mm. And it was one of the reasons I asked whether it's going to be 3G or grass is because I know that when we first had our pitch put down, I know over Haybridge didn't like the idea of having to come and play on 3G, and I know you've sort of said about a few facts and figures earlier on, but I think you're the only club that have actually got 100% record on our 3G surface.
Is that true?
I think so.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I think you've played three games on it. I think three or four games on it and won every single one.
Shame we couldn't transfer that into that playoff game at Haybridge's ground.
Again, funny you bring that up as well, because we had a conversation earlier on in the show, and I said to Keith, I said that day when we went down to Haybridge and for the game, we'd lost to you three times in that season.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things. And the first time I walked into the ground thinking, oh, here we go, this is going to be, another nightmare day and all the rest of it. And then there was one thing happened in that game just before kickoff, and all of a sudden my whole sort of feelings about the game sort of changed. And it's only through what you see on the telly and so forth, was when you actually picked up your manager of the month award on the pitch. So I thought, you don't want to be doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's weird that season was weird because you'd beaten us three times, and then we in an important game we came there and managed to turn you over, and you got to the final, and of course we'd beaten Witham twice, and of course it went the opposite way there as well.
Yeah, the playoffs are a bit of a lottery, aren't they? They're a one-off game. I know everyone says it, but they really are. Been in them a few times now, without much success. I think Keith beat us at Maldon actually.
Oh, Terry's still having nightmares. Terry was on last week, and poor Tell last week. He got
I made
last
up for
week.
It for Terry, though. I've helped him out.
We were battering him at half-time. And
it was 2-2 at half-time, if you remember.
Yeah,
you battered us for 20 minutes.
No, but in the first half, and then you got that late goal, and then you were on top from then on. Mm. We never really recovered, to be honest.
I mean, that season was just one... you know, really sort of really weird season. And I mean, to see Gray's first sort of comes, you know, come past you like an express train in the second half of the season. And then sort of in, it was my first season with Harlow that year. And then to see sort of, you know, Keith's team that, and as I said to Terry on a couple of occasions when we spoke to Terry, to try and pick, you know, players' heads up, you know, after a situation like that, you know, first
18
of all,
points clear, I think, at Christmas.
You know, especially doing that to go into the playoffs, and then once you're in the playoffs, and, you know, it's a bit like, I suppose, what like keeps going for at the minute with his team, who thinks seems to be going against you, and it was that sort of thing again for them in there, losing it on penalties. It was horrific.
But what I was saying, and Dave, and I've said this for a long time, and obviously, you know, where Jody's taken over now, the playoffs give you that, you know, there's We lost one game from Christmas from that time.
Yeah, and, you had a hell of a run, didn't you?
You know, and anyone now can still get out of there, and that's why I'm saying about, you know, people saying get rid of managers, and it's that's what the players give you. If you put a good run together,
definitely,
you can, you know, you can win six games as well as lose six games on the spin. And
yeah, I mean, I used
that.
To manage in the Furlough Nun League when it was called the Ridgins League, and they don't have playoffs, and it kills you really, because If you're sort of sixth or seventh at Christmas, you're probably out of it already.
Mm.
Whereas in the Ryman League, it keeps the season alive for a long time, and you do get that chance to put a late run together, come into the playoffs in good form like you did, and get promotion.
Well, looking at your fixtures now, as you said, you know, you've got Cray and then Sudbury, obviously the two, but you know, you've got teams that are around the playoffs. You know, you've got a couple of great mouth-watering games towards the end of the month with Averley and then Thamesmead and Chesson, you know, all three sides that are looking for the playoffs. If you've got results there, then you're around it, aren't you? And, you know, like I said, it's going to be a
I think, you know, I'm not just trying to play it down for the sake of playing down. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like you say, the league position maybe is false, I don't know, but 4 points after nine games. And it's just the rotating door of players, really. Like, we've got a dressing room where I've come in there and I know them as well as they know each other. You know, it's going to take a while to stabilise and develop a football team there. And obviously with me coming in as well, there's going to be other changes. So I think it will take a bit of time for us to settle down. And, you know, we may well be having a bit of a honeymoon period at the moment. But, you know, long may it continue.
I'm going to ask the question Dave normally asks, because that leaves him stumped. Is there any game you're looking forward to coming up or in the season you look forward?
I'm looking forward to the Cray game. Tony Russell, I obviously had decent games against VCD and when he was manager there, and he plays a really good style of football. I don't know if he's playing it at Cray. I haven't had a chance to see.
Yeah, that's still play the same.
Yeah, you know, he plays that nice style of football, and you know, you're going to have a decent football match, and they're top of the league, so I always look forward to them tests. But then obviously, like I say, I've got a good relationship with Terry, so I look forward to the Thamesmead game. Probably those two, to be honest.
So I'll switch it on his head then, as he's asked that question. Is there one of those games there that you look at and you think, oh dear, I'm not looking forward to that one?
Averley.
We wondered if that's where it would be, yeah.
No particular reason. I just think they're an exceptional team and I don't want to come up against them.
Yeah, it's gonna. You've got them at home, and you've got them after. It's gonna be a tough game. So.
Justin always puts together good sides. I'm only joking. They're, you know, he's always in and around the playoffs. They're always really, really competitive. But there's no games I really don't look forward to be honest.
I suppose it's not look forward to. I suppose it's one of those ones you look forward to, but in a different sort of light to the ones, you know, like a Terry one.
Well, that would be the Maldon and Tiptree game, really.
Yeah, yeah.
The Maldon and Tiptree is one that you wish you wouldn't have to have, really, but your adrenaline will be up and it's a game you want to win. It's a local derby. It's the club that I was at. I also worked at Colchester United, who are heavily involved there now. So, I suppose the Maldon game is one that I sort of look forward to, but don't look forward to it as in, I'm going to go and win. I know it'll be a tough game, but it'll be testing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with myself. I mean, I look forward to the Waltham Abbey game, Wroxham game, you know, and the two you sort of look at with trepidation, of course, is Averley and Thurrock. You know, you look at those things, it's going to be one of those, you know, it's going to be a real tough game. Do you know what I mean? When you play those two, and you know, it doesn't make a difference what form Averley and Thurrock are in or whatever else, you just know you're going to go there and it's going to be a real, real tough game to play.
I just think it's a really tough division. Looking at it on paper, obviously, I've only been in the job a week, so I won't lie, I haven't watched lots of Ryman 1 football yet this year. But Hornchurch, you don't really want to play Hornchurch, do you? You don't want to play Turret, you don't want to play Harlow. They're all games that, to be honest, if we could have had them in the first nine and I didn't have to face those teams, that would be great. But, you know, you do have to play everyone. And like I say, it's a really testing division. And whoever gets promoted this year will definitely deserve to be going into the Ryman Premier, because it's about as strong as it's been since I've known this division.
But with your record at Harlow, you should be looking forward to it.
Yeah, true. But I don't underestimate Harlow. Whilst they've got the only 50 goal a season striker that stays in the Ryman one.
there you go, see. He's at home. It's a bit what we were saying. I can't think it was someone we were talking about earlier on about people feeling comfortable at the clubs they're at. I think it was with Justin, wasn't it, earlier on?
Yeah.
With people that, you know, that they feel comfortable where they are, they feel that they, you know, that's where they want to be, and they
it's a quality club. Yeah. Harlow's a good club. I understand why any player would stay there. Great ground, great fans, always pushing to try and get out of the division. So I understand why he stays there. I mean, he's a great asset to have. I think anyone would want to have him, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Who did you take with you as your backroom staff?
Paul Abrahams.
Yeah.
Danny Clare, he's the goalkeeping coach at Concord.
Right.
And Steve Pitt, who's a director of football role.
Okay. I just didn't know, when the job came up, I know me and Brad spoke a few times, obviously, you know, straight away everyone thought about you, but I didn't know if Danny Barber would have sort of, because he'd been there so long, would have sort of stepped into a coaching role or something.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, I just did an interview for the local press about his 500 games, and I said, hopefully this time I'll be at the club for a period of time and can sort of oversee that evolution of Danny moving onto the staff. Mm. Whether or not it's something that Danny's going to want to do, I don't know. But
I remember him at Dartford.
Yeah. I mean, people say about his 500 games, but I reminded him he's played for Boreham, Wood, Enfield, Dartford.
Yeah.
I remember when he had a week up at Stockport on trial. So, you know, he's been a good non-league player, but to get 500 just at one club and do all of that is some achievement.
Jody, time's run away from us, mate. We wish you all the very best for the season. And hopefully speak to you again in the new year.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay. No worries, mate. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.